Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, July 9th. And today, Zaza and the Vegas Losses. Sounds like maybe a pretty kick-ass indie band, really, if you think about it, with Zaza and the Vegas Losses over the weekend. But this is your boy, Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Detroit News, the Associated Press, Pistons follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter all over the country for over a decade. Glad to be back in Michigan, and thanks for making us part of your daily routine. I was up north for most of the week at the middle and end of last week, so appreciate you guys dealing with not having a couple of podcasts on Thursday and Friday, but no real things to report over those days anyways, so thanks for listening, and we're back on schedule here as we anticipate maybe a decent week of content with the Summer League, and then we're really into full summer mode after that, so we will kind of fluctuate with the schedule, but they'll come out when they come out, and I appreciate you guys staying with us here in the offseason today, talking about Zaza Pachulia joining the Pistons. One of the most hated men in the league, certainly in San Antonio. Also going to be running down the Summer League action from the weekend. I thought fans have some things to be encouraged about, despite the big glaring issue through two games, two losses, and we'll talk about that. And also look ahead to today's regular season Summer League finale. The Summer League is almost over. We hardly knew ye, but a couple of games later in the week that the Pistons are guaranteed as well after today's game. But another surprise Pistons signing. Also going to be talking about the Pistons GT team, by the way. They had a game over the weekend, so we're going to be talking about that later on as well. But the Pistons made a deal. Ed Stefanski, surprising one, but although in retrospect, maybe we shouldn't have been all that surprised. Although the Pistons are still right up against the luxury tax, they acquired another veteran without actually hurting their cap situation at all, even helping it by a few $100,000, just like Jose Calderon a few days earlier. Zaza Pachulia of the Golden State Warriors is joining the Pistons. So two European veterans who played each other in the NBA Finals a couple weeks back. Zaza is 34 years old and from Georgia, and I ain't talking about Atlanta or Macon. Zaza started 70 games for the Warriors 2 years ago in his debut season in Golden State, and then started 57 in the regular season this past year, but his minutes went down from 18 to 14 per game this past season, and he really got buried late in the regular season and went deep into the bench in the playoffs as well, only playing in seven games in the playoffs and getting about 3 minutes a game there as well. For Golden State, they shortened up the bench. Guys like Kevon Looney, JaVale McGee, and David West got the post minutes for Golden State, which there weren't many anyways, as they tightened it up and went small with their main guys after that. Zaza only played in two of the four NBA Finals games, the blowout ones, games I believe 2 and 4. But really, just like Jose Calderon in that way too, the minutes kind of were depleted as the season went on with Jose in Cleveland last year, but really was mostly a starter for at times during the year, although wasn't getting really heavy minutes, but started a lot and got a lot of run these last couple of years with Golden State. The deal is reportedly for the league minimum, $2.4 million for a one-season deal with the Pistons. And just like Dwight Bikes and Calderon last week, the move forced the waiving of Eric Moreland by the Pistons, who was due, I believe, a partial guarantee at midnight last night. Moreland showed promise at times, but not necessarily often enough. Kind of more bad than good for his season last year. Those guys, when you talk about Bikes and Moreland, they also don't have the youth that you want to see in a project type that you might have at the end of your roster. Plus, with the injury history of Blake Griffin and Reggie Jackson, these veterans in Calderon and Zaza, they could be seeing real minutes at some point, and both should be playing 5 to 15 minutes a game as it is anyway, if everyone's healthy. Money-wise, the Pistons actually are saving money as it pertains to the salary cap with Calderon and Zaza compared to what they would have been paying for Bikes and Moreland. Because these guys are coming in on vet minimum deals, they actually get more because of their service time, which is based on a sliding scale through their eighth year in the league, which both guys are past. So with vet minimum deals, and I believe they're both getting $2.4 million, you are only charged a cap hit for the equivalent of what a second-year vet minimum deal would be as it pertains to your cap sheet. So this is something that the Players Association added to the collective bargaining agreement to encourage teams to sign vets like these but have them still get rewarded for having that service time. Zaza probably slots behind Luer as the third string five, maybe even the backup center against some teams and in some matchups. But, and we don't really know if John can handle that yet as far as being maybe a small ball five. We didn't really get to see that from him much in last year's lost season for him. Now, the elephant in the room, of course, Zaza is probably the dirtiest player in the NBA, hated by everyone, including in Detroit, outside of Golden State these last couple years. And it really wasn't clear if he was loved that much there. It's not like he was embraced by the Golden State fans. They certainly didn't show their support for him, really. But he ended Kawhi Leonard's season last year in the playoffs when he stuck his foot out underneath Leonard when he landed on a jump shot in Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. There's a compilation of dirty plays of Zaza's on YouTube interspersed with Greg Popovich complaining about how Zaza probably should have been suspended after the Leonard play there. And look, it's not pretty, but I was also the guy saying the Pistons all season needed to get tougher. Stan Van Gundy didn't quite understand the culture of the old Pistons. And was this the perfect way to do it? No, absolutely not. But I'm definitely not going to be the one complaining when they make a move like this. I wasn't really big on Eric Moreland last season, and maybe he comes back on a two-way deal, who knows, or in Grand Rapids or something like that. But look, this isn't a huge deal either way in the grand scheme of things. It's July, and I get it. We're overreacting to everything. There's some people on Twitter talking about how Eric Moreland was, you know, a great player for us last season and for the Pistons, and how Zaza's the worst. And obviously, there's probably overreaction on the other side too. But this is not a move that's going to make or break the season. But getting these veterans is another indication that this franchise with Dwayne Casey, they're going for it. They believe they're a playoff team this year. They're probably hopeful that maybe they could make a little bit of a run in the Eastern Conference Finals. And for better or worse, that's what it is right now. And we knew that. We knew that from the press conferences and the actual hiring of Casey as a veteran guy coming in to coach this team. We knew it. We know it. And we know it now. But overall, with the signing of Zaza, I like it. I think Zaza is an upgrade over Moreland. He's a smart player. He scores a little bit more than Moreland, but not so much that it's a major thing. He had a couple years with Atlanta early on in the season where he was scoring in double digits and maybe was thought of as a young player on the rise at some point that probably didn't fulfill all of that promise that maybe he showed in Atlanta early on. Had a run in Milwaukee that I think was a little bit disappointing. Probably got paid from his success that he did have in Atlanta and maybe didn't live up to the contract in Milwaukee. A little bit less of the garbage pickup that Moreland did. And I say that as a compliment to Moreland for the things that he did in kind of the hustle rugged kind of ways. But Moreland had some really nice moments in home games for short stretches last season, especially early on in the year when the Pistons were playing well. But I think those moments weren't often enough for Eric Moreland. He wasn't polished defensively. He didn't really rebound all that well. He didn't really seem to grasp the concepts of rotations and where to be as quickly as he needed to. And for a big man with energy, kind of that dirty work guy, he didn't really do that often enough as the season went on. There were games where he was out there and he wasn't providing that energy and he wasn't doing the things that he could do and we've seen him do in some of those home games. And I talked about it during the season. It was just a guy who never really seemed to have any good moments or any good games on the road. So for whatever reason, he was maybe one of those guys that fed off the home crowd and couldn't get it done, certainly for 82 games throughout the season. So bring on Zaza. I won't have a problem rooting for him. It's not going to be a moral issue for me. We rooted for the bad boys and embraced all that. So certainly this isn't any worse than that. And we'll see if he's able to, you know, add a little bit of veteran presence in the locker room. They're talking about Calderon and Zaza, maybe replacing some of that veteran presence that Anthony Tolliver had. You know, I don't quite buy that. I don't know of these guys as being superior locker room guys. I think Calderon, maybe more so than Zaza, is pretty well thought of in that regard, being a respected player who won a lot of games with the Spanish national team. As he's from Spain. So, you know, kind of a more well-regarded player around league circles than Zaza is, who's probably got some enemies on pretty much every team across the league. But up next, we're going to be giving a little bit of a summer league update. Wasn't pretty on Friday night, got a little better on Saturday. Going to give you my thoughts on the pair of losses that the Pistons had over the weekend in Sin City and talk about the rest of the week as well. But if your company wants to reach men between the ages of 18 and 44 years old, you should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if that demo sounds good to you, this is your spot. Plus, we've got reasonable rates. So email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, @yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, we're going to be talking about the Pistons GT team and how they did over the weekend. But first, the big boys. Well, some of the big boys is the Detroit Pistons Summer League team open play in Las Vegas over the weekend. The Pistons lost to the Bucks on Friday night in a complete beatdown, 90-63, in a game that looked like they just got off the plane. But it improved on Saturday night as the Pistons had a 24-hour turnaround, lost to the Memphis Grizzlies, who have a pretty strong Summer League team, especially considered Jaren Jackson Jr., the number three pick in the draft out of Michigan State, who played really well for them. Pistons lost that one 73-70. Bruce Brown had a chance to tie with a running three-pointer near the buzzer, missed it, and Kyrie Thomas couldn't get it off the rebound there before the Pistons fell. Pistons taking on the Pelicans at 3 p.m. Eastern on ESPNU today on Monday. And then that game is also going to be on the ESPN app in addition to ESPNU, if in case you don't have that with your cable. So check that out there. And they're going to have two more games that they're guaranteed for the postseason of the Summer League, probably in the consolation rounds. I'm not exactly sure how the Summer League playoff format works. I tried to look it up and didn't find it. And then I figured, what am I doing looking up Summer League tournament? We'll find out as it comes. I'm sure Rod Beard and Vince Ellis and those guys will let us know what the matchups are next. So I'm going to defer to those guys on that one. But today, 3 p.m., the last of the regular Summer League games against the New Orleans Pelicans. So we'll see how that goes. We'll start with the good news for the Pistons, as it's not easy to find two losses in Summer League, including one real just complete blowout that they had. Kyrie Thomas, 13-3 on Saturday. Over the two games, he was 4-for-9 combined from three-pointers. In those games, Bruce Brown, the rookie counterpart, was 2-for-7 combined for three. Bruce Brown had 12 points and 7 rebounds in Saturday's game, combined for 15 rebounds over the two games. So he showed his superior rebounding abilities from the guard position. The rookies, they looked okay. Pretty good defensively, particularly Brown. I was really encouraged with how he looked defensively. I would like to see Thomas maybe being a little bit more assertive offensively, especially in a summer league setting, but maybe that's just not there right now in terms of shot creation. He did pull up a couple times off the dribble that looked pretty good there, but maybe as far as the assertion and the playmaking, it's not quite there with Kyrie Thomas, and hopefully that grows over time. But he knows his role as a corner three guy, and you could do worse than that with a guy who should be able to provide some really good defensive work on the perimeter as well. But I really like the offensive stuff from Bruce Brown. Like I said, the rebounding in particular, and a little bit more playmaking and assertiveness from Bruce Brown there. I think both of these guys could be useful, as we kind of already guessed from where they were picked and what we heard of them and saw of them during their college days at Creighton in Miami. The bad news, well, first off, as far as the bad news, after those two rookies and then Ellinson, as far as the regulars with the Pistons, nobody else is really jumping out as a prospect other than those guys. And not having Keenan Evans, who signed the two-way deal but not playing in Summer League, and then Luke Kennard, who's not playing in Summer League as well, that obviously hurts there in terms of real legitimate NBA prospects. But been kind of disappointed that Reggie Hearn, who was on a two-way deal for the last half of last season with the Pistons, hasn't really shown all that much yet. He was one of the only minor bright spots on Friday, but Saturday didn't really do anything in his limited time. He's a guy that needs to show something here in these next few games if he's going to give Pistons fans some hopes that maybe he returns on a two-way deal, or at least as a key player in Grand Rapids. We will see on Reggie Hearn. And we'll also check about if any of these guys are other two-way possibilities that jump off the screen today in these next couple games as well. But the other big elephant in the room as far as a negative has been the struggles of Henry Ellinson through two games. The first-round pick from a couple years ago, he had 15-7 on Saturday and 16-10 on Friday, which sound like pretty good numbers if you didn't watch the games. But he shot 4 of 16 on Friday and then went ahead and shot 5 of 21 on Saturday, so even worse. Look, and I'm not going to get too bent out of shape about his shooting numbers in Las Vegas, and not because I know that Henry is good. He's still looking very busty, all things considered, and the thought of him getting a lot or many of Anthony Tolliver's minutes should make fans very queasy, but it is what it is at this point. They have enough invested into John Luehr and Henry Ellinson that I completely understand that those are their backup, you know, fours and fives in Luehr's situation as well. Ellinson did look confident as he missed a lot of shots, and many of those misses did look like they could fall, and they were close to falling in a lot of situations. I thought he played a little bit better on D all things considered. At one point, he went up and challenged offensively and defensively against Jaren Jackson Jr., who looked fantastic, by the way, so far in his summer leagues, including that 8 three-pointer performance that he had early last week in Sacramento, I believe. No, that was in Utah, actually. But Ellinson does look like a guy who can give you some useful offense at times off the bench and maybe even really light it up every now and then for a couple minutes at a time as a reserve player. And he does look like he has improved-looking strength on the body. Feels like he's getting after it in the weight room a little bit, which is encouraging too. But hopefully he can kind of salvage the end of the summer league here in these last two or three games and get some confidence going into what is a very important offseason for him. Really, if you're looking at it, Ellinson, he should be dominating this summer league as a third-year first-round pick, and that obviously has not happened so far. So we will see how he closes up here in the second half of summer league, but the early returns are certainly not good. And although the signs from watching the games probably aren't as bad as the shooting numbers and the overall numbers have been for him. Look at summer league, and if you're one of the you were the only guaranteed NBA guy on this roster, and it really the rookies are second round picks, you're going to take a lot of shots. You're going to have a lot of the focus. Guys are going to be out there trying to make a name for themselves guarding you, as you're a former first round pick with a little bit of a resume. So it's not going to be perfect, and with the way that the lack of offensive continuity that there are with summer league teams, the shooting numbers are going to kind of look pretty bad overall. The three-pointers that aren't falling, I think he was 1-for-9 and 1-for-10 in the two games. Like I said, the footwork isn't great, and a lot of times there is times that he's off balance, but there have been a lot where he's squared up pretty well. He looks confident going up for the stroke, and he's just missed him. And it's going to happen at times. But we'd like to see some results from Henry here in these next couple days, and hopefully he starts getting on the right track against the New Orleans Pelicans for that 3 o'clock game today, closing the regular season slate of the Summer League for the Detroit Pistons out in Las Vegas. But we'll talk about that, obviously, definitely more on Tuesday's podcast. We're scheduled to have a special guest joining us from Las Vegas as well, so I'm excited about that. But up next, we're going to be talking about the Pistons GT team fared this weekend as well, as we have you covered here with the Locked On Pistons podcast as part of the Locked On Network, which is your team every day. Wanted to pass along the information on the Pistons GT team. They played on Friday against the Kings Guard Gaming team, the team that Shaq helped draft during the NBA 2K League's inaugural draft before the season started. The Pistons GT team got the win 64-61 on Friday. 19 from Let's Get It Ramo to lead the way, 15 points from I'm So Far Ahead, and 14 points from Rux, the center in the middle. The Pistons GT team fell behind 13-5 early, but came back and got the win. Now 6-3, all alone in third place in the NBA 2K League standings right now. Up next is the second midseason tournament, the final midseason tournament before the end of the season playoff and finals. So the Pistons GT team will be playing in that this weekend, then four more regular season games before the playoffs and finals and all that good stuff for the NBA 2K League before that. This weekend, the tournament is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And I don't know the details yet in terms of the seeding or the draw, but I will be passing along the matchup and the seeding and all that good stuff later this week. You can catch those games on Twitch, as you can every weekend. And like I said, we'll be getting more into the Pistons GT team after the summer league ends for the Pistons this week, and we're looking for some things to talk about come late July and mostly throughout the month of August as well. But give us a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, and also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account as well. Give us a like on the Facebook page at Locked On Pistons-MattShook, and give us a rating and review on iTunes as well. This has been your host, Matt Shook of Locked On Pistons, and enjoy the last couple games of Pistons basketball action before we have several weeks of no basketball action to watch, as the Pistons are back in action 3 o'clock today, Summer League against the New Orleans Pelicans on ESPNU and also on the app as well. So have a good start to the week, everyone.